Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 52.
Pada sarat padma palasa rochisha.
Pada sarat padma
palasa rochisha. Naka jube ta padasayas viyam apasta sarvasam. Padam guru maraga guru stamo chusham. Padasarat padma palasarochisha. Naka jubi num tarakham. Pradasaya sviyam apasta sadvasam. Padam guru marga guru stamo chusham. Padasharat padma palasarochisha. Talagam vidun vidvata. Tradashaya sviyam apasta sattvasam. Padam guru marga guru stamo chusham.
Pada. By the lotus feet. Sharat, autumn. Padma, lotus flower. Palasha, petals. Rochisha, very pleasing. Naka, nails. Jubhi, by the effulgence. Naha, hour. Antaha agam, dirty things. Vidhunvata, which can cleanse. Pradashaya, just show. Sviyam, your own. Apasta, diminishing. Sadvasam, the trouble of the material world. Padam, lotus feet. Guru, O Supreme Spiritual Master. Marga, the path. Guru, Spiritual Master. Tamajusham, of the person suffering in ignorance. My dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower, which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. My dear Lord, kindly show me that form of yours, which always dissipates all kinds of darkness in the heart of a devotee. My dear Lord, you are the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Therefore, all conditioned souls covered with the darkness of ignorance can be enlightened by you as the spiritual master. Purport. Lord Shiva has thus described the bodily features of the Lord authoritatively. Now he wants to see the lotus feet of the Lord. When a devotee wants to see the transcendental form of the Lord, he begins his meditation on the Lord's body by first looking at the feet of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the transcendental sound form of the Lord. And the 12 cantos are divided in accordance with the transcendental form of the Lord. The first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are called the two lotus feet of the Lord. It is therefore suggested by Lord Shiva that one should first try to see the lotus feet of the Lord. This also means that if one is serious about reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he must begin by seriously studying the first and second cantos. The beauty of the lotus feet of the Lord is compared to the petals of a lotus flower which grows in the autumn season. By nature's law, in autumn, the dirty or muddy waters of rivers and lakes become very clean. At that time, the lotus flowers growing in the lakes appear very bright and beautiful. The lotus flower itself is compared to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the petals are compared to the nails of the feet of the Lord. The nails of the feet of the Lord are very bright, as Brahma Samhita testifies, Ananda Chinmaya Sadhu Jvala Vigrahasya. Every limb of the transcendental body of the Lord is made of Ananda Chinmaya Sad Ujwala. Thus, every limb is eternally bright. As sunshine dissipates the darkness of this material world, the effulgence emanating from the body of the Lord immediately dries up the darkness in the heart of the conditioned soul. In other words, everyone serious about understanding the transcendental science and seeing the transcendental form of the Lord must first of all attempt to see the lotus feet of the Lord by studying the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. When one sees the lotus feet of the Lord, all kinds of doubts and fears within the heart are vanquished. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in order to make spiritual progress, one must be fearless. Abhayam Satva Samshud Hi. Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, text 1. Fearfulness is the result of material involvement. It is also said in Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 11, chapter 2, text 37. Vayam vidya binivesyatasyat. Fearfulness is the creation of the bodily concept of life, bodily conception of life. As long as one is absorbed in the thought that he is this material body, he is fearful. And as soon as one is freed from the material conception, this material conception, he becomes Brahma Bhuta, or self-realized, and immediately becomes fearless. Brahma Bhuta Prachanatma. Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 54. Without being fearless, one cannot be joyful. The bhaktas, the devotees, are fearless and always joyful because they are constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is also said, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 1, chapter 2, text 20. By practicing Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, one becomes fearless and joyful. Unless one becomes fearless and joyful, he cannot understand the science of God. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. This verse refers to those who are completely liberated from the fearfulness of this material world. When one is so liberated, he can really understand the transcendental features of the form of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises everyone to practice Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, as will be clear in the following verses. By doing so, one can become really liberated and enjoy spiritual bliss. It is also stated, Om Agyana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. The Lord is the supreme spiritual master, and the bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord is also a spiritual master. The Lord from within enlightens the devotees by the effulgence of the nails of his lotus feet. And his representative, the spiritual master, enlightens from without. Only by thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and always taking the spiritual master's advice can one advance in spiritual life and understand Vedic knowledge. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guru, tasyai te katita hiartaha, prakashante mahatmanaha. Thus the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad, chapter 6, text 23, enjoin that for one who has unflinching faith in the lotus feet of the Lord as well as in the spiritual master, the real import of Vedic knowledge can be revealed. Om Jnana Timirandasya Sunanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yakripa tamaham bande chirum tarinam. So it's quite a meditation here. And Prabhupada expands on that meditation in his purport. Lord Shiva is explaining that one who sees the lotus feet of the Lord has all of the ignorance, the darkness, or here nanta agham na anta agham. Our dirty things. And so he's praying to the Lord, please show me your lotus feet. And he's comparing them to Sharat Padma Palasha. To the lotus that blossoms in autumn. The Lord's feet they're described as being like a lotus, but a very effulgent and brilliant lotus. That's effulgent and emanating light. The transcendental light, or the, shall we say, the light of transcendental knowledge. You know, by nature we are effulgent. By nature we Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Our identity. Our original spiritual identity is covered by this material body. And by identifying with the body, both the subtle and the gross body, our original spiritual consciousness, which is brilliant and shining and effulgent, it's covered. We identify with the body, and Prabhupada mentions here, by that bodily identification, our original spiritual identity is covered by these material considerations. Well, and, you know, when we think we're the body, then we tend to, our consciousness is degraded down to this gross material conception of existence, whereby we become attached. We become attached, and we experience fear. Prabhupada mentions here fear, but really ichcha dvesha, desire and lamentation. I want something. If I get whatever it is that I want, I'll be happy. But then, of course, when we get what we want, we're worried then about it being taken away. Right. So material existence is a preoccupation with material things and a longing for material facilities that one thinks will make one happy, which and it doesn't. Right? If I could have millions and millions of dollars, then I'll be happy. But there are plenty of people with millions and millions of dollars, and they're miserable. Right? This is not the source of it. The material things are not a source of our happiness. And very often they were a cause of our lamentation. Because we don't have what we want, or we're worried about losing it. Whereas somebody who's on the transcendental, one who's looking at things from the transcendental position, sees the coming and going of material affairs as just being part of existence. One day I'll be wealthy, another day I'll be. You know, we get our money in our bank account, we think, yoo-hoo, fantastic. And then, you know, the gas bill comes out, the electricity bill, the rent comes out. And then we think, oh no. So, that material perspective, that material consciousness is dissipated when one sees the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, how do we see the lotus feet of the Lord? Prabhupada's giving us a hint here in the purport. If you want to see, if you want to rise above the influence of the material energy, and be situated on the transcendental platform, Prabhupada says here, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Right? He's satisfied in his spiritual position. And that comes as a result of seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. And then understanding one's spiritual identity as opposed to one's material identity. One's material identity will always give you trouble. You know, we're always being pushed. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. We're always being pushed. By the tongue, by the belly, by the genitals, by the mind. Right? We want something, we can't get it, we get angry. We want something, we want more, we get angry. The six enemies of the mind. We're always being pushed. But A devotee who's able to fix themselves in their spiritual identity is able to withstand or tolerate the pushing. Or, and this is more appropriate, is able to use those propensities to act in Krishna's service. And that focus on Krishna's service comes when one is able to appreciate one's identity, right? Who one really is. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna explains Buddhi Yoga. Right? Buddhi Yoga. And Prabhupada alternatively translates that as Bhakti Yoga. Right? So the yoga of one's intelligence. And Prabhupada says, what is that intelligence? What is our, what is the proper intelligence that a devotee should have? What is it? And he explains, it's to know that you're a servant of God. Right, that you're a servant of Krishna. So that's why this connection with the lotus feet of the Lord is so important. Right? And why the Bhagavatam is so important, because the hint here is from Prabhupada, if you want to see the lotus feet of the Lord, then you need to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, just the first, by properly understanding the first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says here, if you want to seriously study the Bhagavatam, you have to have a deep understanding of, well, you need to start from the start. Right? Start from the beginning. That's not a bad idea, is it? Start from the beginning. Well, yes, that can be a bit of a challenge. Because there are people who, I want to go to the advanced stages of bhakti. I don't have to study the beginner stuff. I'm already advanced. I now need to go to the topmost, you know, the Rasa Leela. Right. Without really understanding the elementary, the fundamental, the basics. Right. Because here's the thing. And this is why service is so important, seva. Because a devotee who may, and see the thing is, we can theoretically understand everything that's in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can even recite it, repeat it. Right? But more important is that one understands one's spiritual identity, and that spiritual identity is as a servant. And then if you understand that you're a servant, what do you do?
Serve.
Yes. Serve. You do something. I have devotees come to me, Prabhu, I want to get my Brahman initiation. What are you doing? Oh, I'm not really doing very much at the moment. I'm helping somebody with their service. Right? Not taking any responsibility for any service. Huh? What are you planning to do? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Huh? Now, one of the qualities of a devotee is manishanam, thoughtful. Right? They're thoughtful. What is it? Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam. Then what? Padasevanam, right? So he understands, I'm not this body. I'm not an American. I'm not, as Prabhupada says, I'm not an Indian. I'm not a German. I'm not a South American. Right? I'm not an Australian. Then what am I? Right? Prabhupada makes a point that if you're an Australian, you have responsibilities. I said this before last week, but it bears repeating. So you have certain responsibilities. You have to pay your taxes. You have to drive on the left-hand side of the road, whatever. Right? You fulfill those obligations. But if you're not the body, then you have to be thinking, Prabhupada says, you have to be thinking, well, if I'm not the body, then who am I? And what do I do? If I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishna Nityada. So I'm a servant of Krishna. Then what do I do as a servant of Krishna? What do I do? And so one is thoughtful about what one does. What should I be doing? One goes to the spiritual master and asks, or one goes to the senior devotees and says, what should I do? I'm a servant of Krishna. What service should I perform? And so therefore we have that natural hearing and then repeating and then meditating on those instructions and deeply understanding them, not just being able to repeat the philosophy, but not being able to apply it practically. But this is where the thoughtfulness comes in of a devotees. What is it? Sradhadhanas. Munaya, isn't it? He's thoughtful. He has great faith. He hears from the right, or he hears from the right persons, or from the right sources, and then he thinks about it. How can I apply this? How can I do this? What should I do? How should I do it? This is the meditation, the thinking of Krishna. So what is it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. This is natural process. Right? And of course, Prabhupada says here, we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, first and second canto. And by meditating, and that's in the proper meditation on the form of the Lord, that's the looking at the lotus feet. That's seeing and realizing the lotus feet of the Lord. Not that we jump to the higher, you know, the tendency is to jump to the rasa leela or the higher leela. Oh, Bhagavad, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Tahino smin yadha dehe komaram jovanam jana. Oh, so boring. But if we don't realize that we're not the body, right, and we don't act on the platform of we're not the body, because, and Prabhupada says, what does he say? He says, and here is mentioned, one becomes detached, naturally detached. So faithful, inquisitive. Prabhupada says, these are the requirements. If you want to make spiritual advancement, here's the requirements. Four things, Prabhupada says. You want to hear these four things? Yeah. The four keys for making spiritual advancement. Are you interested? Yeah. Hey, you sure? Faithful. One has to be faithful. In other words, you know, we believe what we hear. We accept it as truth, what we hear from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just some theoretical thing. We accept it faithfully. And we're inquisitive, thoughtful, Prabhupada says, thoughtful. But, you know, that thoughtfulness is manifest as inquisitiveness. And detached, right? Because what happens is when we become aware of our spiritual identity, we're inquisitive, we're faithful, we're hearing from the right source, then we should be knowledgeable. We should understand, I'm not the body. And we should be able to act on that platform of I'm not the body. And so as a consequence then, one should be detached. If you know that you're not the body, then we shouldn't be so absorbed in accumulating things related to the body. And you know, you're getting caught up in that the ijjadvesha, samudvina, right? It's hankering and lamenting and experiencing things like fear. I'm going to die. You're not going to die. You're a spirit soul. You know, yes, the body will die, but it's dying every moment. Prabhupada gives the example, right? It's dying every moment. The body that you've got now is not the body that you had yesterday. There's things going in, stuff coming out. Not very pleasant, not very pretty, right? But it's changing all the time. So what's the problem? Tehinos min yata dehe. Gomanam jovanam jara dehantara praptis tiras tatra namuyati. So, you know, one of the qualities of a person who's detached is very sober and steady in his performance of devotional service. Thoughtful. He's thinking, what does Krishna want me to do? What does my spiritual master want me to do? Huh? Not that, not sure what I should do. No, a devotee is absolutely convinced as to what he should be doing. If he's not, then he's inquiring. What do you want me to do? Lord Shiva is praying to the Lord, please reveal your lotus feet so that I can be free from ignorance. Because they're so effulgent, naka, right? Rochisha, very pleasing. Naka dubhi. By the effulgence of your nails, nanta agham, the dirty things, vidunvata, which will be cleansed, right? When we see your lotus feet, then our hearts are cleansed of all material attachment, of material affinity, of material association. Why we're recommended by Rupa Goswami, Satovrite, and Sat Sangha, association with the devotees, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and Sangha Chag, giving up bad association. Huh? When one wants to cultivate a garden, then he builds a fence around the garden first to keep out the animals that are going to come in and destroy the garden. So we build a fence and we keep bad association at bay. Huh? We meditate on Krishna's feet for purification and we keep bad association away. So he's saying, Pradashaya Sviyam Apasta Sadvasam. Interesting here. It diminishes sadvasam, the trouble of the material world. Padam Guru, O Supreme Spiritual Master. Interesting. interesting here, the word is marga, the path. Now, that's not mentioned in the translation, actually. So, this is the process. This is the path of enlightenment, if you like. Krishna acts as the spiritual master in the form, in his personal form, wherein one can meditate on his lotus feet. He also acts as the spiritual master within the heart as the changer guru. He manifests externally in the form of the spiritual master. So, we come to the temple and we see Krishna, but we don't get any personal instructions. The way we get personal instruction from Krishna is by taking shelter of his representative, the spiritual master. And he manifests in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. First and second canto, we need to understand the first and second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions, actually, if you just know those two books, it's sufficient for self-realization. But of course, if we understand the first two, then we'll go beyond, we'll continue. So, Krishna is supremely effulgent, he's the supreme pure. When he manifests himself in these forms, we must, if we're serious devotees, we must take advantage of those elements or those features, those characteristics of the Lord, those forms of the Lord. And with faith, with inquisitiveness, with knowledge, we should be knowledgeable. And of course, that means understanding the principles, but also knowing how to apply the principles. And of course, that's where that thoughtfulness comes in, thinking about what does this mean? How do I apply this? So it's not just theoretical knowledge, but it is also practical, applied knowledge. Devotional service is, doing something, not theoretically understanding something and not doing anything. This is why seva or service is a measure of a person's understanding. If a devotee doesn't do anything, then we understand they don't have very much, they don't have very much realization of what they're. So it's knowledge is, knowing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but also how to use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and use it to practically calculate things. Right? We all know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We learn that fairly quickly. When we're given money, right? We start that. Ooh, hang on. How many sweets can I buy after I've bought my lunch? We used to get 2 shillings for lunch. 2 shillings is 24 pennies. 24 pence. These days it's only 20. When we went to decimal currency, they stole money from us. Instead of getting 24, we only got 20. Right? So, a pasty or a pie was a certain amount of money. A cream bun was a certain amount of money. But that was most of your 2 shillings gone. And we used to be able to buy mints, round mints. I think it was 2 for a penny. And in those days we had half pennies too. Halfpenny, right? So how many halfpennies? That's 48, right? 24 and 48. We had 48 halfpennies. So that meant 48. If there were two mints for a penny, that means there was one from a halfpenny. So that means 48 mints out of 2 shillings. But you know, you had to have your lunch. You're not going to go very far on a mint. So this is where I learned to count, how to use money. It was working out how many mints I could get after buying my lunch. It's practical. So we need to be able to apply these principles of bhakti, the effulgent form of the Lord, who's, when we get the darshan, right, he's saying, pradashaya, give me the darshan, sviyam, apasta sadvasam. When I see your lotus feet, then all of my material problems are just dissolved. Let me see your effulgent form, and beginning with the lotus feet, so that I can be free from this ignorance, free from darkness. And you see that when the devotees are very enthusiastic, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're hearing the philosophy, they're very enthusiastic, they're very bright faced, they're very vibrant and active. Huh? Active, can't suppress them. So what stops us? Actually, because Maya is very powerful, the material energy is very powerful, and her business is to test us, to test our sincerity, to test our purity. And as a consequence of committing offences or not being diligent in our practice, then the ignorance can come back and pull us down. Maya has this avaranatmika shakti, which that's the shakti that she uses to keep everybody covered. But for the devotees, she has a special shakti, the pulling down potency. That's why one has to be diligent in the performance of one's sadhana. And Prabhupada gives the example, there are do's and there are don'ts in everything. What? When you're driving a car, there are certain things you do, but there are things that you must not do. You've got to pump up the tyres. You've got to put petrol in the tank. You've got to put oil in the engine. If you don't do those things properly, what happens? What happens to your car? Yeah, it stops working. And there are some things that you definitely shouldn't do. You've got to drive on the right side of the road. Well, we drive on the left side of the road. That's the right side of the road. In India, they drive on the left-hand side of the road too, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they drive on the other side of the road. You can never be sure what's going on. But if you drive on the left-hand side of the road, you're less likely to have an accident. Right. So there are do's and don'ts. Same with devotion, with bhakti. There are do's and there are don'ts. And one has to be careful. One has to be careful about the application of the do's and the don'ts in order to make, and that's why we recite the 10 offences in chanting Hare Krishna, right, in the morning, so that we're aware, don't do this. But we think, or we forget, or we not experience, And of course, that's the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is do's and don'ts. By seeing the examples of the devotees, primarily what to do. So, yeah, it's interesting what Prabhupada says here. Brahma Bhuta Prasadam, and a devotee is happy, joyful. Shusukam Katam Avyayam. Ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned. Devotee is happy and joyful and happy to perform service. Not, I've got to do some, too hard. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Evam prasanna manaso. Thus, mind becoming peaceful. How? Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga Taha. That's what the Bhagavatam explains. That's what Rupa Goswami explains. That's what Prabhupada explains. This Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga. It's do's and don'ts. And then the result is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, this knowledge, right? Bhagavat Tattva, the knowledge of Bhagavan, Vijnanam, it's realized. It's not just some theoretical thing that I could recite, but it is Pratyakshamagamam Dhamyam, directly perceived. We realize I'm not the body, I'm a servant of Krishna. And we engage in that service. And we learn how to apply these principles in our own lives, and when we become adept, then we can help others. And really, this is really, really what our acharyas and Krishna himself teaches. We need to become expert so that we can help others. Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga. We can see the Lord, we can engage in his service, we can help others. This is what we're here for, not just help ourselves. I think I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? There's more could be said, but we've got to go to school, right? Got to go do some seva. Priya.
Like the Aranatmika Shakti of Maya, she kind of stops the living entity from breaking out of the covering. My thought is, when a person wants to be Krishna conscious, first of all, to come to that point is so rare for a person to want to find their real identity. And so everything should be done to facilitate that person to get to that real identity. And I'm just surprised that there would be.
Yeah.
Why would there be stoppage?
but everything may be done, but they may not take advantage of it. We throw people a lifeline and say, grab the rope, and they say, oh no, I can't, it's too hard, I don't want to, or whatever. Right? So we go to great lengths to try to help others, but that they may not be salvageable. Well, immediately. So we just We are tolerant and liberal. We give them more prasadam.
No, I'm not talking about others. I'm talking about ourselves. Like when we want to be Krishna conscious, then why does Maya want to stop us
from that? Why does it, to show you how much you don't want, or how much you want something else, huh? For your purification. Because we think, yeah, I'm a great advanced devotee. How come there are troubles? How come there's problems? How come I'm bewildered by material desires? Because that's what we want. We think, oh, Maya, you're creating so much trouble for me. Why do you do this? But actually, that's a measure of our attachment to material things, is that we get bewildered by them. Well, so these things are it's revealed to us. This is self-realization. It's to realize how much advanced I am not. Because we like to think, yeah, I'm pretty advanced. I know at least a dozen slokas from the Bhagavad Gita. Or whatever. You know, I'm surrendered. I'm surrendered to Krishna until I get asked to do something. Oh, I don't have to do that. What do I have to do that for? Anything else? Gatra Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.